It's late morning on a Friday at the Saxis Island Museum, and five men are gathered in a half circle, sitting in plastic chairs and drinking coffee from travel mugs.
I pump my septic tank every 4 years, and I do it during every presidential election. It reminds me it is 4 years.
Saxis sits just off the Chesapeake Bay on Pocomoke Sound. Across the sound is Crisfield, Maryland, where you can just make out the town's new wind turbine. It's a sign of changing times for M.K. Miles, a descendant of Saxis watermen. He returned home after an engineering career.
When I worked for the Corps of Engineers in Norfolk, Virginia in the 70s, we did a tidal study around the area and realized at the time sea levels rising by a foot a century in the lower Chesapeake Bay. Now they say it's rising a foot and a half a century. It's speeding up. So depends on where you are. You just do the math.
Strictly speaking, Saxis is not an island, according to the book Almost an Island by Kirk Mariner. But come high winds and tides, the community is shut off from the rest of Accomack County. Retired schoolteacher Yvonne Hickman stops by and joins the conversation. She blames some of the town's problems on fewer wetlands absorbing flood impacts and calls out people who have recently moved to Saxis and cut wetland plants for better views and access to water.
We wish that most people, if they want to go to the beach, do like we did in my day. You cut a path and you have a path to go to the beach. But, you know, to just cut everything down, I think it's destroying our town.
Hurricane Sandy was a game changer for Saxis. Trees are permanently bent, shorelines eroded. Hickman takes me to the tiny cemetery where her parents are buried to show me damage first caused by Sandy and now more frequent flooding. A grave near her parents has caved in.
My parents has been gone like 40-some years. And when we had Sandy, that's the first time they went underwater. And that's because all that land had been completely cleared, so the water had nowhere to go.
Saxis is mostly marshes and homes. Its highest point is 8 feet above sea level, 3 feet higher than Tangier Island. On a golf cart tour of the town, Miles points out street drains that overflow during higher tides and storms because the ditches they go to are blocked by marsh growth. The only road to Saxis from the mainland goes underwater at least once a month.
If you don't mind driving through 3 or 4 inches of water, you can always get to the island. But once you get into town here, it can be a foot deep on the road.
Visitors call ahead to residents about the tides. Residents time grocery shopping and going to church accordingly. Sometimes the school bus can't make the crossing. Miles shows me his unofficial tide indicator, a plaster buoy with a fishing pole placed at the edge of a tiny pier. The statue's feet dangle a foot or so above the water.
His feet get wet every high tide, but when it gets up above his feet, maybe up to his knees, that's when the high tide's high enough to come across the causeway.
Miles points out homes that have been raised, or as he calls it, jacked up. After Hurricane Floyd, FEMA paid 75% toward raising houses about 7 feet. Homeowners only paid 5%, and the state picked up the rest.
After Sandy, no such deal's ever been offered yet. They're still trying to offer such a deal. That one's never jacked. Somebody still
on the southern end of Saxis is a conundrum. Every 7 years or so, the Army Corps of Engineers dredges the harbor channel. Keeping the town harbor open contributes to erosion and flooding on the north end by disrupting the natural flow of sand that used to build up on the town's northern shoreline. But with no dredging, Saxis watermen would lose access to their livelihood. From the town of Saxis, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.